This morning, I would like to ask you to imagine a car. It could be any car, a truck, a van. Heck, it could be a tank if you really wanted it to. And I want you to cover it in dirt. Big old pile of dirt. I want you to make it rusty, old. If it has windows, break a couple. And I'm going to use this throughout my lesson to illustrate what baptism does for us. Before baptism, you are that car. You're sinful and you're dirty. In Acts 2:38, Peter says, "Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." For something to be remiss, it has to be there. For remission means a dismissal, a release. When I was going to school, a teacher couldn't dismiss me unless I came. That was a little troubling because I hardly ever came. In Acts 22:16, it says, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." Once again, something to be washed, to be cleaned, it has to be dirty. Therefore, we are dirty. In Galatians 5:19 through 21, it tells us what dirties us, the works of the flesh. And it names adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, desertions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. God knew how much trouble we would have with living on this earth. He couldn't name all the things. He knew that two pages of all the troubles would take up too much time. So he put there, "and the like." But when you're baptized, it's the most beautiful thing ever. You go from this dirty car, covered in dirt, broken. You go through this magic car wash. It fixes the windows. It fixes the rust. Back to Acts 22:16, it says, they're washed away. All that dirt is gone. All the broken glass, it's gone. Acts 2:38 says they're remiss forever. They're just gone. And you know what's replaced? The fruit is spirit. In Galatians 5:22 and 23, it says, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So he knew that we would trouble, that there were a lot of bad things on this earth, but there were also beautiful things like love and joy, that we could live a good life. And baptism would wash away all those bad things that we did. What else happens? The Bible tells us we're added to the church. In Colossians 1:13 and 14, it says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. When I think of darkness, I think of bad things, like those lusts of the flesh. In John 3:5, it says, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom would be the light. And if you're in the darkness, you cannot enter the light. In John 8:34, Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. So that darkness, it's got chains around you. It's keeping hold of you. It won't let go. You're a slave. You're in bondage. You're kept. Until that baptism, your car is washed in that magic car wash. Like Colossians 1:13, 14 said, out of darkness. The darkness is gone. The chains are gone. In John 8:32, Jesus says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." The truth is baptism, and it's setting you free from those chains of darkness, setting you free into the light. Acts 2:47, "And the Lord added to the church daily those who were saved," which means you're saved. No more feeling the need to do something dirty for your pleasure. No more mudding if you're that car. You're now clean. You can drive on the highway to heaven. Which gets me to my third point. Your greatest prize is heaven. Before baptism, Revelation 21:8 says, "The cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone." So before baptism, you're on a different highway. Maybe just going the opposite way. That's hell. That's all fire. In Matthew 8:12, it says, "There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I don't know if you've ever been in enough pain to gnash your teeth, but it's not fun. And like it says there, it normally comes with weeping. You're probably crying your eyes out. In Matthew 25:46, it says everlasting punishment. So immediately when I'm being punished, I automatically think of some type of pain, some negative influence. And then again in Matthew 25:41, it says everlasting fire. So not only is it painful, you're crying, your teeth are gnashing, it's punishment in fire. Fire burns. I don't know if you've ever put your hand on your stove. I have. I'm not that good at cooking. It hurts. And it's forever. So you're crying, you're in pain, you're gnashing your teeth forever. It doesn't stop. There's no, okay, time for a break. It's always. But with baptism, there's that magic car wash. And your car gets clean. And like I said, you go on that highway. Matthew 25:34 says, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." The kingdom prepared for us is heaven. Revelation 21:4 says, "There shall be no more death," something we fear today, "nor sorrow, nor crying." Over here, there was a lot of crying. It lasts forever. And over here, there's none. And in the next verse, it goes on to say there's no more pain. So, no crying, no pain, versus everlasting pain and everlasting crying. I know which one I'd pick. In 2 Corinthians 5:1, it says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made from hands, eternal in the heavens." Also telling us that this eternal greatness, this no pain, no crying, it also lasts forever. So it's not like, oh, you may last forever in all this pain, but you get a little good time if you're a good person. You get that forever if you're a good person. You don't cry forever. A lot of tough people try not crying forever, and it doesn't work. But if they're good and they become baptized, they won't cry ever. So I'm going to ask you, why not use this magic car wash? Why not be baptized and have your dirt cleaned off your car?